Hello, everyone, and welcome to Anoka Brands Open Metaverse podcast. For those of you who have been here before, welcome back. For those of you who have not, this is a podcast whereby we focus on companies, trends, industry happenings in Web3, blockchain, and crypto. I myself like to start off these podcasts with a fun fact about myself, and it's because us here at Anoka know how to have a mighty time. Ultimately, the fun fact I have to share with you is that I've been in the industry for, 6 years already. And in those 6 years, I'm happy to report, I am a lot less knowledgeable and a lot less qualified to do my job than when I first started. Anyway, moving on. Anoka Brands, who I work for, has a massive reputation and a solid name in this space. But really here to understand how Anoka has been able to future-proof themselves against one hell of a volatile market where companies spontaneously combust on the drop of the dime. Here with us is Evan O'Young, who is the president of Anoka Brands on a group level. Evan, it would be really a pleasure to hear kind of a little bit of your history and why you chose such a masochistic career path in terms of crypto.
So we're in Consensus in Hong Kong 2025. It's great to see such a great conference coming to Hong Kong. Lots of buzzing going on here. We have, you know, traveled a long journey in Anoka. We pivoted quite a bit from what is known to be a gaming company, a Web3 game or blockchain gaming company, a VC, into something that is much more, right? With which we can go into about the business model, right? I myself came from, I guess, traditional industries, right? I started my career in finance. I was there for 5 years, and now I want to do something broader. And I went to a business school, and then joined McKinsey, management consulting company.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. so that I can train myself. But so far, like, I've been a traditional career in the sense that, you know, maybe a young guy didn't really know exactly what to do. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, actually. That's the kind of like the secret. And then I sort of like, that explains a little bit what I'm doing today. But then thereafter, I left McKinsey for KMB, which is Kowloon Motor Bus Company, which is a for-profit bus company.
Bus being Hong Kong.
The Hong Kong. It's like almost like a bus infrastructure type company. And that's for profit as well. And it's doing public service, which is very similar to what I feel I'm doing today, which is kind of like...
But a public service.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
People to some destination.
That's right. That's right. And then I was at... I left that for Gerson Lehman Group, GLG, which is an expert network firm. Get to meet tons of experts, advise other companies is great. So I joined Anoka 4 years ago because I knew founder Yat, CEO at the time, kind of like really like galvanizing industry to develop on what is a gaming-based blockchain thesis about how do we move the digital asset, right? And the rest is history. It's very, very interesting.
So business model-wise, Anoka Brands is traditionally known as a VC, right? As someone who's investing in the space and predominantly as a gaming investor within the space because of the roots that Anoka comes from, right? But as you've clarified, it's about a fifth of the portfolio now, right? In gaming investments. But is investment the one thing we're focusing on? What is the business model that we're trying to build out? How do we future-proof against long-term investments for short-term revenue? What's the thinking there?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that is great about the company is that we're agile and we're innovative. At the same time, you know, we have the talent to pivot the company when we need to, right? So if we insisted ourselves to be a just gaming only company, then we're a lot smaller size, right, as we're today. Today, we're really three pillars, right? We have the digital asset advisory pillar, which is the first pillar. Second pillar is a Web3 operating business pillar. And then the third one is the asset management pillar, which is what you call the VC thing, which we're used to, you know, people saying what we are. So we're neither really an investor, peer investor VC, nor are we really a gaming company. But let me explain the pillars a little bit, right? Let's start with the middle pillar, okay? Middle pillar being the business builder is sort of the DNA of a company because we have been an operator of mobile gaming, right? So we're a company first, right? So we built businesses, right? So at the time when I came in, we're building sort of like multiple games, and then we have the Sandbox, which is our big subsidiary, right? Which is what, you know, people... So probably known as kind of like, hey, you know, there's a game, it's like Roblox, but then you can own digital asset. And then that caught the imagination of many people alongside Decentraland, other similar assets that we have. At that time, we actually wanted to invest a lot, right? So that's what gave rise to the third pillar. But let me stick with the second pillar first, right? The business building pillar is essentially about, you know, Web3 operating or business building pillar. It's essentially about building digital asset operating businesses like Sandbox, which has been successful. Then we built Mochaverse, right? Which is sort of as kind of like a project that we launched.
So Animoca is known as an investor in the space traditionally, but future proofing doesn't necessarily lend itself to long term investments. How do we think about, or how do you think about, and how is the firm actioning in the immediacy of revenue? The need for it.
So this is basically, you know, what are we today, right? Beyond kind of like a gaming company, right? So yes, the gaming DNA will still be core and part of what we are and who we are, but we're no longer that. I'm very proud that we have the talent and the agility and the skills to pivot, right? Because if we're still a gaming company, we'll be a lot smaller size than we are today, right? Now, today we are a $300 million company, right? So that's the revenue size that we have. So we're relatively large in the Web3 space that is a non-exchange kind of business, right? We're three business pillars, right? First is the digital asset advisory pillar. Second is the Web3 business building or this operating business pillar. The third one is asset management, which is the VC thing that you talk about, what we're known for, the hundreds of investments that we have. Let me go through each one of them. I'll start with the middle pillar, which is the Web3 business, operating business or business building pillar. That one is really essentially our DNA from where we came from gaming. When we entered this space to pivot ourselves from a gaming company, a blockchain-based company, well, the core assets that we acquired were Sandbox, right? And Sandbox is kind of like a Roblox type of environment, but you have digital asset ownership that caught the imagination of many people to say that, wow, now there's a use case, right? Exactly, the brands, right? And then it's got like, oh, that's a cool thing, let's go after it, right? And then thereafter, you see the sort of the explosion of the growth of the whole metaverse and the NFT concepts. Then we invested even more in the games. Then we built others as well alongside. We acquired several other companies as well. So that's business building. Now, gaming itself, as we talked about earlier, didn't pan out to have grown as fast as we would have initially anticipated. So what we did was that we started to venture into additional areas based on vision, right? Now, one of the prominent projects that we have worked on was Open Campus, right? So this initially started with an acquisition of TinyTap, which is a Web2-based education application company, right? That pivoted into Web3. Thereafter, you know, we have contributed to the launching of EDU, right? And now with the Open Campus initiative, which is essentially decentralized education. Now, that's not gaming, but the purpose of that is to see how can we, as a company, really try to change education into more to enable teachers, creators to have content that is decentralized. Because the curriculum, as we see today in schools, are not that much different from the late 60s, for instance. And in fact, what's funny about this is that the first time I met Yat, that was our conversation about the education, how it's not evolving, education landscape globally is not evolving. So that's one project. Another project is Mochaverse, right? Uh-huh. That is our sort of like our decentralized ID layer that we're building that has reputation attached to it.
What do you mean by ID layer, and how does reputation function into that?
Yeah, so I can go a little bit more into that, right? Right. But in short, right, the ID layer is about sort of us as a netizen navigating a space. Exactly. We shouldn't be disclosing our identity in a government ID kind of way. We want to maintain that privacy, and your interactions with the internet, you know, should be permission based from what you give it, right? So your reputation as you interact with games or other applications, you should accrue data, but that data should be used for you rather than sort of like, shall we say, mindlessly given to data giants then gives you advertising.
And then sold. Yeah.
Yeah, and then sold. And then you might even get manipulated, right? In lots of sorts of ways, even political views, right? So that's sort of like the thing about that. But let me sort of keep on talking about the pillar. So Mochaverse is a big one That's on the operating bucket, right? So we have these operating businesses which we're either incubating or we're investing into, right? That we're building. So that operating pillar is still very core to us because we're still innovating.
How many do we have in the operating bucket in terms of companies, in terms of projects we're building? What would you say the...
There are many right now. So for instance, like there's like any chess, which is out in the market already with budding players, is a partnership with chess.com. Magnus Carlsen is part of sort of like, you know, our sort of our partner on it. And then there are other projects with AI as well, right? Which we haven't fully announced, right? But there are lots of incubation going on there, right? Yeah, exactly. So, but that's sort of the middle pillar that I talked about. The digital asset pillar came alongside the core pillar two, the business building pillar.
Of that pillar.
Exactly. Because
we, natural building.
Because we learned stuff, right? We learned how to sort of, you know, build businesses.
Yeah.
Therefore, we have earned the right to advise, right? And that pillar became more and more prominent because we kept on adding talent and capability to it, right? So right now, what we're able to do is that we have tokenomics advisory, we do marketing advisory, you know, well, in the digital asset side, right, which is a team you're on,
yes,
we can actually, you know, advise how do you do liquidity provisioning so that, you know, when the token gets listed, it's actually traded well. How do you do, you know, post-market, you know, strategically, you know, manage your treasury, for instance, right? So how do you yield from it? What do you do? How do you do timing, trading strategy?
Things that we ourselves have had to
exactly
build, right?
Exactly. And you yourself talk to so many projects, right? And you sort of like, you understand where they are. So you're advising, right? Not that that is necessarily the core of our DNA to begin with.
Yeah.
But given that, hey, we have that skill, we want to bring that to the world. We want to influence the ecosystem as an ecosystem builder. Therefore, we want to go into that pillar, right? Then pillar three, the one that you talked about, asset management being the VC, we're 540 companies right now, right? About 150 or so are gaming companies, so we're no longer only that focus, yeah, right? We're now in very, very diversified into sort of what we're into, right? So we do we did a lot of AI deals recently, obviously. We did DPIN deals, right? Infrastructure, right?
Yeah.
And we still do the gaming deals, right? So we did about 100 deals last year alone,
well,
right?
Pixels was last year one of the marquee launches.
Exactly, yeah. Pixels is very, very successful, but we're also in some of the other names are very, very prominent.
Very many.
Like consumer brands as well, like Pudgy, right? You know, and et cetera. So we're many, right? So, and then Yuga Labs in 2021-22, we're a good launch partner with them, with ApeCoin, et cetera. So, you know, we not only advise at the same time, this pillar is an investment pillar, which is kind of like, we don't just advise you because we yak and tell you what to do, like consultants might do, right?
Yeah.
But we also put our money where our mouth is, right?
We have to.
Yeah, exactly. So they're synergistic in a way. So the core pillar of the business operations allow us to earn the right to then be innovative and advise. But given that we also invest, we then put our money where our mouth is, and you also get the attention of, hey, we'll also invest in you. And we also do marketing, and we'll also help you.
So we're fund companies as well.
Exactly.
It's a complete flywheel, right?
It is a flywheel. So, and also in our advisory business, as far as I know, we're the only kids in the block, if we will, in the WalkBerry space, that does the full stage, right? Meaning that we do early from incubation, even idea. We look at founders, like, oh, you have a great idea. You want to think about how WalkBerry is going to work with this.
How could we help you?
How can we help you, right? So how do you construct the interaction, right? And we'll put it through modeling and stuff like that from incubation. Early stage, right? To sort of like pre-product, right? To all the way to pre-TG. Pre-TG is actually very important. How do you get ready to have sort of like exchange conversations on DAX listing nowadays?
Yes, right.
So how do you go to market?
Going to react.
Exactly.
How do you manage all of this?
Yeah, and you yourself do that as well, right? So it's like, you know, how do you get to the point where it's marketable? Pre-product, right? Maybe it's not pre-product anymore. Maybe it's that you have some MPV version. You're getting, like, the Twitter followers. And how do you get yourself ready, right?
And regulation-wise, it's super important from our perspective because we have so much experience across so many different companies that we can advise folks in terms of how to actually position your tokenomics so that you are actually providing utility to your ecosystem as opposed to issuing a security and fundraising through this, right?
Exactly.
So we're helping people future-proof in the same way that we ourselves have built into it.
And also what you talk about is exactly right. So you also use the word security, right? You definitely want to avoid that. So on the legal side, we also have a very strong team to be able to advise on, hey, these are do's and don'ts, or how do you actually do something that is, you know, that's legally possible and appeal to all the jurisdiction and staying away from some of these pitfalls that you might have. Then it gives rise to where you guys are at the digital asset team, which is the liquid side of things. Even post CGE, you guys are advising a lot on this, right? Yeah. So even you can maybe elaborate on what you guys do, but there's a lot of strategy after your TGE as well. What do you do with your treasury, right? How do you work with your community? How do you do incentives for the community?
A responsibly managed company.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. If you immediately have a windfall of tons of money within a specific asset class, don't really know what to do with it. You're not really sure how to deploy it.
And of course, if you provide the transparency that is needed, right, for the community that's invested into you for your token to continue thriving, right? That's the ultimate. Ultimately, what the test is. It's not that you actually listed and you have a lot of capital and therefore you waste your capital, right? That's the important part. So that's sort of like the full spectrum of what we really do. And if you sort of ask about 2025 and beyond, really is what's strengthening all of these pillars, right? So we'll continue to invest, right? We did 100 deals, right? We depending on the opportunities, we don't have a target in mind, right? But you know, as long as they're interesting projects and they're like, you know, good companies to work with, and we will invest, right? And there's no number, there's no target number, right? The business pillar side, right? We're still going to build out Mogaverse, right? We're building out that decentralized ID system. We're building out the reputation layer. Mocha Drop, you know, Mocha List, we're still perfecting on that. You might have seen the SK Planet partnership, right? It's a huge partnership in Korea, right? We will continue to find these partnerships which will be considered more Web 2, but that's our mission, right? We're trying to bring more Web to
chess.com.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Audience, right? Exactly. There's so many 100 million chess players, I think. I'm not one of them. Well, I used to be, but I'm really not good, so I don't consider me one. But
consider you one then.
Yeah. But you know, but if I put myself in a tournament, I'll get like killed.
The
right
fact
away.
That you could consider yourself for a tournament already means you're a league above the rest.
So I know how to move the chess pieces. That's about right.
For chess.com. I am.
And then the digital asset pillar, right? Digital asset advisory pillar, we still can strengthen more, right? So we like to see ourselves as an advisor, right? So it's like almost like a Goldman Sachs, you know, in a way,
investment
right?
Bank.
Like a mini investment bank, but not in the same way, because it's like pure advisory. And for us, it's sort of like, how can we be helpful? How can we invest at the same time, you know, ensure that there are really good projects that get to market, right? So that's sort of like a bit of a 2025. Obviously, growing ourselves to have, you know, bigger revenue slice, growing profitability are going to be important. That's any operating business ought to have. And then, of course, at some point in time, what we'd like to do is to go public again, right? So that's sort of the what investors want us to do, what we want to do as well. We want that financial discipline for us. And we also want to make sure there's some liquidity for investors who invested in us for many years.
And I suppose we also want to grow in the way that the industry is moving, i.e. regulation, right? And just speaking to not just regulation, but I just mentioned, i.e. we're building a mini investment bank. I did misspeak a little bit because obviously we don't have the licenses to be able to actually hold assets or whatever it might be, right?
Yeah, so we don't take control of any of the customer assets. We just start.
That's a given. I think it's probably worth saying. But in terms of the DAA business, how are we thinking about building it? And I think I ask because of the three pillars, it's maybe the one that the market doesn't know about
at
the most, right?
Sorry.
Everyone knows us as a VC. Everyone knows us as an operator builder.
Right.
This is more a newer business, though I would consider it relatively mature at this
point. Yeah.
But how is the growth there? How are we thinking about that business?
Yeah. Well, sometimes we don't market it actively, right? We don't really think a lot about it in that way. But of course, we have teams going after the space a little bit, right? Because we want to invest at the same time we want to advise, right? Because that's sort of like the bread and butter, if you will, when the business building pillar is the one that requires building and time, right? So the way we think about digital asset advisory is kind of like we have to reach to almost everyone, right? In the space, right? So that's very unique of us. And we're also a little bit seen as a steady ship, right? If that makes sense. Maybe adults in the room in a way, right? Yeah, the brand can be trusted. We are good players. We are sort of like patients.
Oh, years and years we've proven ourselves through hell and high water.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to leverage that to say that we have the trust to then go after, you know, different opportunities. So we typically know what projects come in the market. Yeah. And typically for projects in this space, they always need capital, need funding. That might be the first conversation. They talk about advisory. Hey, how can we be helpful and advising you? And by the way, even if they don't want advisory, we'll due diligence.
Yeah.
And we'll be like in the due diligence process. We'll be like, you know what? You got to do this. Now, we're actually agnostic as to how you get there. If you say you don't need advisory, it's also okay with us. But if you do need advisory, then what we would then want to do is to participate in it so that we have, you know, we have a stake in it and we have a greater stake in it, right? Economics, of course, matter, right? We do take fees, right, from that. That's part of the business. But we believe that what the value that we're able to add will be much more outpacing the fees that we take. That's how we look at it, right? Upon success, right? So that's how we think about the pillar itself. Is how do we grow? It's more a little bit more organic. It's about capacity that we built, about the skill set that we built, and overall that's how we think we'll grow.
Okay, I mean that's super interesting because I suppose at the core. When you lay out these three pillars, particularly the investment component and the DAA side of things, one may assume that one follows the other. Like we will only provide investment if we win an advisory mandate, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, my time here has shown completely the opposite. And I mean, if that was the case, I truly believe that would fire all of us anyway, because that's not really the core. So I suppose with each of these pillars, what do you think is the foundational core that drives the organization and has allowed it to be as successful as it is?
Yeah, we want to talk about more the philosophical core rather than the business core. It is really around the values that we hold about how we can be helpful. Because we sort of like pivoted company or yet obviously, you know, had that in mind. Is going, how can we be helpful as an ecosystem builder, given the nascency of the space? And we still think that it's early innings right now. Now, if you go into a project and they know exactly what they're doing, and they are kind of like, they don't need help, they don't need our investment, but they're a very prominent project, then that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? There are many projects, right? And we know, just by virtue of having 500 companies in our portfolio, and so many startups that we see, it's already sort of like saying that you don't have to go after one particular opportunity, even though it's profitable. So for us, profit and revenue isn't about targeting as much as it is. Of course, we still have a budget, not to say that you have to hit your numbers.
No, I heard that.
Yeah, so exactly. So but
it's literally recorded.
Yeah, exactly. So we should have, the thing to do is kind of like, what do we do in terms of the right activities to undertake so that as a result of doing these right activities, we will then get those revenue and profit numbers.
Yeah, it's like people say, do what you love and the money will flow.
Yes, exactly. It's still nascent, right? If it's like, sort of like, oh, everything is covered, you're running competitors, your pie is being eaten, it's covered, you're in the fast food business, whatever. It's a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
For us, to be very honest, because we have the opportunity to be a leader and to shape the space, you can afford to be much more idealistic, which is kind of like the DNA that Yat and I possess.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, how do we do better for the industry? How can we build a company that is a net good, a net positive for the industry, rather than being extractive, right? Now, we also believe that data giants today, I mean, this is not me being critical, we're just saying that they also had that mission about how do we bring the internet to the masses and all that. But over time, when you see sort of network against network, so the Apple network, Google network, and the Microsoft network, they do not communicate, right? They have common customers and all of that, but they keep it to themselves. There's no other way maybe to sort of do it, to do it their way. But for us, can we tie the ecosystem together so that we're all collaborators of each other? Can the assets that we built be sort of like, be cross-chained, be sort of like utilized in sort of like, you know, in ways that are sort of interoperable is the word that we use, right? So we're definitely that DNA that we have about how can we be helpful actually informs project selection and informs how we work with founders, right? If they also, the other thing that is, even when I work with the DAT team, you guys sometimes would tell me that, hey, we don't like that particular project because the founders are values aligned, right? And thereafter, you kind of like, we're not sure if the way they act would be good for the community. And we let those go, even though this person might be a brilliant founder. And if they go, well, you know,
the numbers are on paper.
Yeah.
They look stellar. Yeah, I'd be in that position. Exactly.
Yeah, because we're very afraid of like rug pulls or even like bad execution, right? If they have a track record of sort of like having harmed the community before, we are then sort of like a little bit away from it. Now, this is a reputation-based industry. We're building a reputation-based chain. You know, we know what the DNA ultimately is. And if you don't hold steadfast to the values in which you're building the company, then, you know, and you focus on your profits, on the potential IPO, and you're accelerating that timeline, then you're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, right. So I do tend to agree with you. I mean, it's hard not to. The entire community does tend to build together. And it's very, very obvious when someone is a rug puller, only after the fact though, right? And so I think a big part of our diligence and some of the pedigree that we have earned by building companies is to identify those. And that's why from an advisory perspective, from a tokenomics perspective, from an everything perspective, we really try to evaluate the best of our ability to try to push the industry forward as we can, right? It sounds very blue skies and it sounds very idealistic, but just watch one of Yat's interviews or speeches.
Yeah.
He is very consistent about the core, where we're driving.
Yeah.
And I think flowing all the way down to someone as lowly as me, it's really kind of the DNA of this.
Yeah, but you also, you know, it's just, you know, folks in the company and also externally get to know me. I'm deeply philosophical as well. This is where we amalgamate. If you look at sort of Yat and myself as a sort of interesting combination, you see a brilliant entrepreneur who's been doing, you know, many things throughout his life. You see a career sort of like a business finance, you know, CEO type person. You put the two together, kind of like they have like nothing in common. I can tell you what is in common. It's the values of which we believe in. How do we build a company and build something that is to last and that's meaningful, right? And hopefully, you know, the talent, and including yourself, can see that steadfast belief about not just about, you know, sort of just believing doing a number. Not that is not important. That is very, very important. But having done the right things and building the right foundation, which we believe we have, today would be what would propel ourselves to the next years to come. Because a company should last beyond the founder, the current management team. It should be handed.
Keep it on risk. Should be diversified. As decentralized, essentially, right?
Decentralized. And also, the only thing that lives ultimately that's past people's lifetimes and companies is the philosophy in which you operate, right? You look at 100-year companies, 150-year companies, maybe more. There are no 150-year companies, but, you know, 100-year companies, they're built based on certain values that would last, right? So we believe that we're on the cusp of being able to redefine what the internet might look like in the future, right? Again, you know, the anchor being like one of the biggest projects, Mochiverse, decentralized ID, reputation layer. We believe that's the core of how we enter the internet, and we have a responsibility to build it right. And to build it right is not going to be just a profit focus, right? You do the right things, mass will come. We're a consumer-focused company in a lot of ways, then they will come, right? Sorry, I forgot to mention that we do have institutional side of the business building side as well. I forgot to mention, right?
The capital market side of things.
Right? Yeah, well, not just that. We have a partnership with NEOM, right? Which is very interesting because we work with Saudi Arabia to talk about, hey, if you have an AI-enabled city, how do you govern that? We believe that you need a decentralized way of governing AI. And so that's what we're advising on. We have a couple of, you know, proof of concept, you know, work going on there.
NEOM being the line city that they're building in Saudi Arabia.
Exactly. The line, the city of the future of that, right? And then we also have a stable coin, which we just announced, right? With Standard Chartered Bank, Hong Kong Telecom, and Animoca. So we have this JV going, which was just announced. It's very exciting because we believe the stablecoin has a very clear use case already. And Hong Kong is going into Web3, right, overall. And when you do, exactly, if you want to go onboarding onto Web3 assets, and Hong Kong has tons of assets. It's also capital markets to sort of like China.
The center point.
It's a center point, right? So you do need the stable coin. So this is a Hong Kong Monetary Authority licensed stable coin. So we're getting in a regulated space because ultimately we're very insistent on bringing the masses, right? Meaning the Web 2 to 3. And a lot of this has to do with when you're in financial instruments, we do believe that you need to be in a regulated space, right? Because that spurs on adoption and safety.
We have a view towards IPO as well.
Yes, it's not great.
Very much moving towards, trending towards that regulation.
Yeah.
And working with the regulators and with the monetary authorities to actually bring, because they want to, right?
That's right.
It's the industry move. For us, it moves too quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
For them, they have an entire industry to look after and then have to consider this new and upcoming NASA industry, right?
That's right.
And so they partner with people like us to be able to actually, you know, give them some trustworthy institutional grade insight into exactly how we should be partnering and building.
Yeah, yeah.
That was incredibly insightful. And I think it's probably about time we wrap up. The business was great. I mean, the overview of the business, the overview of where what we're thinking, the future, in terms of how we future-proof ourselves. I did want to ask you on a more personal basis, though, what are you specifically, since having joined Web3, most proud of in terms of accomplishments?
To be very honest, I'm most proud of you guys and what you guys have done. Yeah, you specifically, but you know, but the greater team as well, right? So we have one of the things that I know about myself is that as kind of like when I joined the industry, I was pretty new, right? Other than sort of personal investing, right? Into the space, I just, you know, didn't know a lot, right? And I've done that a couple of times, right? With the bus company I talked about, you know, leaving banking into McKinsey, I didn't know anything about management consulting. I've been very used to jumping in new industries and be able to, you know, maybe make some difference, right? And right? So the way I look at it is that you gotta have good people based on good values, right? So the way I look at it is that you put a construct team together, you sort of understand what the skill sets are, and you construct it in a way that you feel people can work together. And you always try to build trust within. So within what I call executive committee, we actually argue a lot because we're very different as people, right? We debate. Yeah, I mentioned that a lot to people, and people don't know what goes on within that. It's kind of like a secretive thing. It's not secretive at all. I'm more than happy to broadcast it and open what we're kind of like when we're talking about non-confidential stuff.
You can effort too, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, hey, we argue a lot and all of that. Now, again, you know, back to most kind of like most proud moment, it's kind of like, hey, you know, the team has done it, right? The pivot is not just driven by like Yet and myself, right? It's really kind of like we see things and then we discover things and then we go after those things instinctively, right?
Cute,
like when we talk about, hey, the business pivot gave rise to advisory. Hey, we need more, you know, capacity. It's not kind of like, hey, as an ex-McKinsey guy, it's kind of like, these are the three steps of what you need to take to get there.
Yeah.
It's very hard to have that playbook. If I do that, the company wouldn't be sort of where it is today. It has to be leveraging the strengths of the power of the people and the talents, right? And everyone within the company matters, right? And I've always emphasized that every single person matters, especially if the person is in the front line, because you bring back the intelligence that we can therefore redistribute the capital, redistribute the talent. Ultimately, capital deployment and talent deployment is what we should mainly be doing as executive committee, right? And of course, we should, you know, that itself will provide a direction, right? When it's very, very clear, you steadfastly go after that particular direction, right? But given it changes all the time, you need that intel, right? So,
yeah. Absolutely.
Hope that answers your question.
It kind of does. It kind of doesn't. It was just like,
next time you can have.
Flattered me, but thank you. I'll accept it. No, it was such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for taking the time. I know it's during Consensus Week Hong Kong here in 2025, and you definitely have to shoot off somewhere. But thank you very much for your time.